I'm sure I speak for all of us when I say I know you give God the glory, but I'm glad he gave you the lips. And you too, Laura. Our second reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 9 through 23. It is on page 1134 in your pew Bible or up on the screen. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law. So as to win those not having the law, to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. May the Lord lend his reading or understanding to the reading of these words.
Thank you, Julie, and thank you, Les. Interesting when Laura said she loved your lips as well. By the way, we are studying Song of Songs tonight, disciple study. I think I'm going to have a fan out there in the fellowship hall, kind of. Okay, probably have a few more coming tonight, I don't know. Oh, I wanted to, after I talked a little bit last week about evangelism in general, I wanted to be a little bit more specific as far as the kind of people you and I come in contact with in our lives. And I told you that this morning I wanted to talk about those who may be unresponsive to the gospel, at least at this point, or at least you and I seem to think that they're unresponsive to the gospel. I want you to think just for a moment here before I start. If you know of someone in your life that you have some kind of relationship with, who at this point you feel like they don't really want to hear anything about Jesus. Some of you are nodding your heads. You know people who are like that and wonder how can you reach someone like that with something that's so important to you and to me. Let me have us think for a moment of something that has probably happened to you. It happens a lot in our house, and it's this. Unlock the door. You have a daycare kid that maybe goes into the bathroom and locks the door behind them, or the bedroom door, and so here's Lisa or me. Our own kids would do that from time to time. You're trying to get into a place you can't get in because the door's locked. How do you get the door unlocked so that you can get to the one whom you love and care about? How do you get a little child to unlock the bathroom door? Sometimes they don't even know they locked it. What do you do? You can yell at them and tell them it's not funny. For some of them, that's why they lock the door, and they need to unlock the door so you can get in. You can calmly ask them to open the door, which probably works better with most kids, because they're probably scared to death if you yell at them. Or maybe you could explain to them what to do in order to open the door, because maybe they weren't sure what they did to lock the door. And there are times when you may just have to unlock the door yourself. A lot of these doors in the house, you know, where you got that little hole and you stick the little paper clip or something in there and you can unlock the door from the outside. Or if you want, you know, I was a police officer for a while, but I never had a chance to do this. But you go up and you kick the door in. I never had to do that. Probably would have hurt myself and wouldn't have even unlocked the door. But think about that even in terms of trying to reach people who are kind of locked behind the door, so to speak. And for whatever reason, and we may not know why, that they have locked the door. How do you and I unlock that door? How do we unlock the door to a sinner's heart? How do we unlock the door to an unresponsive person who we care about? I would say there's two things right up front that we ought to have, or what they need to have, and what we need to have as well in order to go along with this. The first one is patience. Patience. You're dealing with someone who may have a variety of reasons why they don't want to hear anything that you have to say. And we need to be patient. The other thing that we need to do is develop a trust between us and them. That takes an investment of time. If you really want to reach someone who's in that kind of a situation, you're going to have to take time. It's not going to happen overnight. I don't think they're going to care, you know, unless they know you care. And how do they know you care? Unless you spend time, unless you invest yourself in someone's life over a period of time. And then what I would encourage us to do, to try to unlock the door of someone who we care about that seems to have the door locked, is think about some of these things. One, you could think about the passage that was shared this morning, and that has to do with, can you relate to that person at some level? Paul was trying to share with us, he used a bunch of different methods or modes in order to reach people depending on where they were, depending on what they thought about God's law, for instance. If they were Jew or they were a non-Jew, if they were weak and whatever caused them to be weak, maybe it was life circumstances or whatever. There are different ways to approach different people. He said to the weak, he became weak. How do you become weak to the weak? You got to listen to them. You got to see where they're coming from. You got to see what's going on in their life. You've got to listen to their life story in some way. They've got to know that you can be trusted so they can start to share with you what's going on in their life. Paul said he would become all things to all people by all possible means so that some of them would come to know that thing that really could change their life, that is Jesus Christ. So the weak, he became weak. To those under the law, he became as one under the law. To those who were not under the law, he became as one who was not under the law. He became all those things to all those people so that somehow, some way, he could get in. They would unlock the door so they could start the conversation. All of us have baggage, don't we? Everybody has baggage, some kind of baggage. You sit there and talk with someone long enough, we all have some kind of baggage that we carry around. And to those who we're trying to reach, who maybe seem to be unresponsive and may seem to be not willing to hear what we want to share, maybe the way to reach them is the way that sometimes Paul used, and it's an approach I try to use so many times as I'm dealing with people. And that is, before you get to their baggage, share yours. What am I saying by that? That's how you get, for instance, to a person who's weak. Share your own weakness. To the person who's really struggling, share with them that you're struggling in some way too. Let them know that we are on even keel here. We're all attempting to ride in that same boat. And so we need to, and you know, Paul does that oftentimes in Scripture. What did he say on a few occasions in the letters that he wrote? He said, I am the worst of all sinners. Trying to let them know that, look, I am no better than anyone else's. I've done some horrible things in my life. I'm the worst of all sinners. But listen to what I have to say. You know, God has saved me from my sin, and he can save you from your sin as well. Not even getting to that point yet, because they're still unresponsive, but share your baggage so that they know that you're a human being and that you're not perfect. Far from it. Then, perhaps, you can listen to theirs, to listen for theirs. When you're willing to open up to someone else, oftentimes they're willing to open up to you. Maybe you'll find some things out about them. What are their life circumstances at present? Maybe they're just going through a rough time, a broken relationship. Maybe they've lost a loved one. Maybe they've lost a job. Maybe they've just lost their way and they don't know what in the world is going on. Are they in crisis? Maybe they are. And you know, hearts become tenderized when we're going through crisis. If you want to be strategic about reaching people with the good news of Jesus Christ, oftentimes they are most transparent and vulnerable when they're in crisis. Because they want somehow, some way to get through this crisis. And we may have an opportunity to share them how we get through crisis. Were they hurt by the church? Think about that for a moment, folks. A lot of people that don't want to hear about Jesus because someone who apparently knows Jesus has not been very kind to them. And they don't want to hear about this Jesus that someone who proclaimed they were a Christian hurt them in some way. I come across this more than I'd like to tell you. How there are many people in this world today that have had some kind of contact with the Church of Jesus Christ, but because that contact ended up being painful contact, they don't want anything to do with that. Listen for their baggage. That might be part of that baggage. Maybe they have misunderstood what a Christian is. They think you can't be a Christian until you get all your ducks in a row. I've come across that too. God wouldn't take me because I'm a mess. No, God wants to take you right now in that mess. And then after that, he takes you in with all that mess. He says, now let's work on getting things the way I would love them to be and you would love them to be. Maybe it's their own family's response to faith. Sometimes it's just the heritage that we have been given is a certain kind of heritage. And maybe the heritage that they have is one that does not include faith in Jesus Christ. It's foreign to them. There are a lot of these things that you and I can listen for. If we have shared our baggage with them first and foremost and said, you know, I struggle with life too. What are your struggles in life? It's amazing how you can unlock the door from an unresponsive person that they might get to a point that they want to hear something about how you have journeyed through your baggage and gotten somewhere. You see, that's when then perhaps you can get to a point you begin to offer them hope. It may not come in the form of religious anecdotes, though. You remember we were talking about the person who was hurt by the church? They don't want to hear religious anecdotes. I think what they really want to hear, first of all, is that you love them and that you care for them. They don't want to hear a religious anecdote. Sometimes those work. Maybe that's to someone who's far more responsive, but to the unresponsive person that you're trying to reach out to, religious anecdotes, this isn't the time to share them. Some of them have been hurt by people who've shared these kinds of things, said one thing and acted out another. They may not be ready for that yet. Tell them some of your story. Tell them a little bit about your journey. Tell them that you have had hope in your life when it seemed like it was hopeless. You see, what I'm talking about right now is not Theology 101. I'm not talking about you knowing all the verses you need to know to kind of lead them along the Roman road or whatever it is. I'm just saying share with them the fact that God has been working in your life and here's how God's been working in my life. This is the initial, folks. This isn't a PhD in theology. Tell them a bit about your story. I was lost, and now I've been found. You don't even have to explain what that is yet. But let them know you have hope when you didn't have hope before. You have a hope that takes you through your life that you didn't have before. Paul addressed the skeptic and the unresponsive with observations about their culture and their situation. Did you notice in the book of Acts what Paul was doing here? Paul, although Paul was bold, he was less bold here than he was in some other spots in the book of Acts. Why? I think because he realized he was dealing with a crowd of people that had a whole lot of other gods. These were philosophers and people who were, they spent all their time talking about this and that and the other. And they didn't know about this one that Paul was talking about. Not once during the entire conversation in the book of Acts there does he mention Jesus. Did you know that? Well, is that then not evangelism? Oh, he was evangelizing. He talked about God. He mentioned about this man who died, but he didn't say once in this whole text does he say anything about Jesus specifically. He alludes to him. But what's he do at the very beginning? He looks around and sees what's going on. He's looking at what's going on in their lives and say, these people, they're thinking about life. They're thinking about what comes after this life is over. They're thinking about things like what? Oh, check this out. On this inscription, it says, to an unknown God. So they're spending their time gathering around this area. They're talking about an unknown God. So he points them to what they're talking about. He's saying, this unknown God that you're talking about, I want to tell you that he can be known because I know him. He dipped into their world is what he was trying to do. So I'm going to deal with Acts, the same text next week, because I think it deals with those who are responsive, but they aren't quite there yet as well. I think it speaks to both of these. But I wanted to let you know what Paul was trying to do here. He's trying to offer them hope and enter into their world, into their situation. He says, just like some of your own poets have said in Acts 17, verse 28. He uses what they know and says, they even say this, and I'm telling you even more than what they have said to you. If we want to reach the unresponsive, we got to enter into their world. And then as we have the opportunity to offer what we know may address what it is that's going on in their world that needs some kind of help. But that takes time. It's not a one-nighter. What is ultimately our purpose? And I'll close with this, with the unresponsive to the gospel. I think our ultimate purpose to begin with is nothing more than, as I said at the very beginning, it's just get them to open the door. Just get them to open the door. And that may take more than one try. It may take a few tries. But you get them to open the door because you're going to be patient and you're going to develop trust. And once you develop trust with someone, they will start to open the door. Let them know that you're for them, not against them. Because sometimes when you and I come on strong on someone, it sounds like we're against them. I know it's well-meaning when we sometimes want to bang them over the head with something, but it doesn't look like we're for them. It looks like we're against them. Even if we are from the depths of our soul for them, it doesn't look that way to them. Let them know you're for them, not against them. Care about what they care about, like Paul was doing with the unknown God that they were trying to find. Notice that it's just the beginning, because this is a journey. And then lastly, if you forget all this other stuff, remember this, just love them. Just love them. That alone sometimes can open a door. Just love them. And God will do the rest. Trust the Holy Spirit. Keep on praying. Remember, I mentioned that last week. Pray before you start. Pray before you enter into this journey. Ask God to open the doors for you so that they will open the doors to you in your heart. And so I'm just trying to encourage you this morning with this. Evangelism is about relationships. And it's a journey. And to the unresponsive person, there are ways to get in and open the door. But it doesn't start with quoting scripture. It starts with loving them, being patient with them. Entering into their world and finding out what it is that's making them tick and realizing that there's something that you have to offer them that they eventually be open to. But first, you've got to unlock the door. And I hope this morning you found some ways in which you can kind of unlock the door to an unresponsive person. I hope you've learned something from this morning, because once they become responsive next week, we'll talk a little bit about that and how they're starting to respond to the things that you share with them. What can you do with that? And believe it or not, I think all of us can evangelize. And all of us know someone who doesn't know Jesus. They may be responsive. They may be unresponsive. If they're unresponsive, it doesn't mean forget it. God doesn't want them. No. God's saying, you got to spend a lot of time with this one. You got to unlock the door first. Don't yell at them. Remember at the beginning again? Ways to unlock the door when the kid's behind the door. Don't yell at them. Maybe you can calmly ask them to open the door by having a conversation with them. Maybe you need to explain to them how they could open the door. Sometimes they're so weak and so broken, you got to open the door for them. Remember that. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you that you've given us relationships. And God, I'm so grateful for the relationships that we have here. Most who are here already know you. And what a joy it is to be with brothers and sisters in Christ, where we share the deepest thing that there is. But God, we also know people who don't. And some of them are really hurting. Some of them have shut the door. And they've shut the door because we, the church, have not treated them the way we should have. God, help us through patience and love and the development of trust to open that door so that someday this one who we know and who we love may come to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the privilege. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's turn in closing.